Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Power of Purpose in Business with Nathan Mitchell and Jim Witt on Blog Talk Radio. If you have ever wondered about the transformational power of purpose and its impact on business and life, then you have tuned in to the right show. Each week, Nathan and Jim will join guests from a variety of backgrounds. You will hear from career professionals, business owners, entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and other experts, all of whom will join Jim and Nathan to discuss the transformational power of purpose. And now, here's your hosts, Nathan Mitchell and Jim Witt.
Hello and good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Power of Purpose in Business, How to Transform Lives, Leaders, and Organizations. I am your co-host, Nathan Mitchell. I'm very excited that you have decided to join us here on Blog Talk Radio this evening. Jim Witt will be joining me momentarily, and we have a very special guest lined up for you tonight. It's going to be a great, great show. Jim and I, we are really excited about tonight's guest because we're going to be talking quite a bit about the importance of driving purpose within your organization and how that has not only increased revenues by over 50% for Mitch Counts and his organization, Servitech, but it has literally transformed the organization for the better. And with that, I would like to introduce tonight's guest. Mitch Counts is the CEO of Servitech Incorporated. Servitech was organized in 1975 by three farmer-owned cooperatives to provide technical service for agricultural producers in southwest Kansas. Today, Servitech provides crop consulting services to approximately 1,800 farmers in seven states. The crop service division has over 1 million acres under contract. Servitech employs approximately 190 people residing in 70 different communities. Their employees have degrees from 27 different colleges and universities. Servitech Crop Consulting spends approximately $60,000 per year on continuing education for its current staff to improve their technical skills. Servitech has a fleet of 135 vehicles that drive approximately 3.4 million miles per year. Each year, Servitech provides $9,000 in scholarships to students who are working toward agronomy and other agricultural degrees at colleges and universities throughout the Great Plains. Mr. Count and Mr. Witt, welcome to tonight's show. How's your weekend going so far?
Well, the weekend's going fine, Nathan.
Good.
And thank you, Nathan. And I'm really excited to welcome my good friend Mitch Counts with us tonight. Mitch is one of my favorite people. Mitch and I have worked together since 2007, and if I could take a CEO and clone him, it would be Mitch Counts. And Mitch, I'm always interested to hear you tell about how you and I met, and I think our listeners out there on the radio would like to hear about that. So talk about how you and I first got together.
Well, Jim, actually, if you recall, we met through another acquaintance that we knew, a gentleman called Bob Workman, and I had been first introduced to Bob, and he gave me a copy of your book, Writing for the Brand, which I read. That was in May of 2006, and just by coincidence, July of that year, you were speaking at a meeting in Vail, Colorado for the Kansas Farmers Service Association, and I was at that meeting, and we met and had breakfast together.
I'll never forget, Mitch, I was speaking at that meeting, and the meeting planner came over to me, and he says, there's a man here that has a copy of your book, and he says he'd really like to meet you. And I thought, boy, I feel like a real celebrity. And so you came over and we sat down and had breakfast. We got acquainted. And after speaking at that meeting, you'd read the book and you decided that the principles in Writing for the Brand were the same kind of principles that you thought might help Servitech. So the following year, in September 2007, you brought me in to work with your organization in that first meeting. And one of the things is we talked about the principles from Writing for the Brand, And the other thing that we did is we asked four questions that would prove to be the questions that would define the future of Servitech. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that whole meeting, Jim.
It was. We had a lot of fun. But the thing that came out of that meeting was, as we talked about, we looked at Servitech from the standpoint of two generations, 30 years before, 30 years after. And Servitech started in 1975, and you had started working with them in what, 1978?
Yeah, it was May of 1978, and I had just graduated from the University of Nebraska. This was really my first full-time job away from the ranch that I grew up on.
And you grew up in southwestern Nebraska on a ranching and farming operation. And other than that, you've spent most of your life working for Servitech.
That's correct, Jim. And I might just add that growing up on a ranch and a farm probably helped me identify with the book even more, but it's certainly not a prerequisite for anybody to understand what you're trying to get at when they read the book.
You identified with all of my stories in there. In fact, Mitch, I got to tell you, tomorrow morning I'm going to get up early and I'm going to go up and help the Clausens brand calves on their ranch up in Sedan, Kansas. So,
well, it should be nice weather for that, Jim. So nice and cool, too.
I'm still plying my trade.
Hopefully they don't give you that horse that gets a little hump in his back.
Old Buck?
Yeah.
Well, you know, good luck. I remember the questions that we asked, and this is part of my pioneering process that I use with clients, is we asked what agriculture in the world looked like 30 years earlier. Now, this is 2007, so that took you back to the year of 1977, which was about when Servitech started. Now, when Servitech started, there was no business that really existed at the time to do crop consulting. Is that correct?
Well, I wasn't aware of any. There were a few individuals out there that were doing similar services, but I wasn't aware of any major company that was doing that.
And I happened to be working for Ralston Purina Company in the same area out in the High Plains, and I would see Servitech's Jeeps. They had white Jeeps with Servitech on the side going up and down the road. And this is the beginning of crop consulting. And when we talk about technology and agriculture, this was really the beginning of applying high technology solutions to crop production. Is that an accurate statement?
Well, I think so. There were so many changes starting to take place. You know, the advent of center pivot irrigation technology was just getting started, and out here in southwest Kansas, there were very, very few center pivots. Most of the irrigation was flood or furrow type of irrigation, which was very inefficient, really, but pivots were expensive, and at that point in time, water was plentiful and fairly cheap, and energy was fairly cheap, and things really started changing quickly.
Yeah, and labor was fairly cheap back then. In comparison to today. And so in that question, we talked about what changes we'd experienced in the last 30 years. Then we made another leap and we said, well, what's the world going to look like 30 years from now? So we went to the year 2037 and we said, well, here's what we think the world and agriculture is going to look like 30 years from now. And then the third question was, is what is Servitech going to have to look like and be to succeed in the future we just described? And then the final question was, as we asked, is of all the people that were sitting in that room, what are we going to have to do? What am I going to have to do to help Servitech be a part of that future? And what am I going to have to do for me to be a part of that future? And those are all very thought-provoking questions. As a result of that, we started working with your what we called managers at the time, Mitch, and describe what your managers looked like at that time.
Well, we had quite a number of managers, and in some sense of the word, they were somewhat quasi managers. everybody at that particular time in the history of the company, with probably at least on the crop service side of the company, had field duties. And so it was really not much time actually being spent on managing and personnel development, and we were starting to see some opportunities go by us just simply because everybody was too busy in the field to actually go out and work on business development. That was a major problem that I was starting to see happen, or had been happening for a while.
Well, and at that time you were your title was really general manager as opposed to CEO. Tell our listeners how you felt as managing this operation that really had been extremely successful, but maybe the best example that I can give our listeners to is Servitech is the dog that caught the car. And you really, you had more opportunities coming to you than you had the ability to take advantage of.
Well, our business structure at that time was so flat, Jim, and we, you know, we're very people-oriented, and mostly a bunch of just scientists, if you will. And we saw opportunities, but we just did not have the time to really go after them because we were actually being so successful at what we were doing. But it was really kind of a wall that we were up against. And when I think the timing was just right for you to come along and for me to realize that what we were doing wasn't getting us any further than where we already were. We couldn't develop the company any further. And it was, you could see some of the frustration that some of the employees had at times as well.
Well, and I remember one point in our process, and I'll try to make this as condensed as I possibly can, but where I came to you and I said, Mitch, I said, I think we can't go any further in this process, that really the people that you have in this room that we're trying to develop the company are actually too busy doing operational tasks to actually manage the organization. And I told you at that time, I said, Mitch, I said, your organization could actually implode. Do you remember that?
Absolutely. That was not a happy moment when you told me that, Jim. But it was. But deep down, I think I knew that you were right.
Well, and you were part of an executive forum group, and the leader of that group was telling you something very similar at the same time.
Yeah, that's correct. I had attended a meeting with another group of businessmen, and I was actually getting told the same story from two different directions about where our company was and what we had to do to change that. My question was, how do you do that?
And Mitch, that's the question that everybody has. It's like, okay, we've been successful in the past, but we realize that what we're doing today is not going to help us be successful in the future. But everybody struggles with how do we make that transition? How do we, you know, stop doing what we're doing so that we can start doing what we have to do to succeed? And we had a meeting with you and several of what we called at the time regional managers. Am I using the correct terminology there?
Yep, that's correct.
And we said, here's what we have to do is we're going to have to actually take a certain amount of time over the next 6 months, and we have to have a commitment from the people in this room to sit down and say what we're going to do is we're really going to restructure a major part of the company, which was the crop services at the time. And we made that commitment, and we had about four meetings. Well, it was exactly four meetings, 2 days each, and we had some pretty intense conversations, didn't we?
Yeah, that was probably some of the toughest work that we did as a management team, and along with your help, everybody, well, it wasn't completely smooth, but, you know, deep down, I think the rest of the managers knew that something had to give and had to change too, and I believe in the end everybody had buy-in, and you know, we didn't all agree on everything, but we were able to go through that process and come up with a strategy of how we would change the organization and how we would run it from that point forward. And what we've done up until this time is working very well for us, Jim.
Well, and Mitch, I think it's important that we just let people know that change is hard.
It's extremely hard. It's gut-wrenching. You know, people get comfortable doing what they're doing, and even, you know, things may appear to be going quite well, but the day of reckoning is coming, and really it's probably the best to change when you get to and not when you have to.
Well, I think that was the real key, is that was in 2007, and in the last 5 years, we really invested in completely restructuring the company. And I honestly believe that if we had not started that process in 2007, that Servitech, I don't want to say that you wouldn't be in business today, but I think it would be pretty difficult.
Well, I wouldn't be there today, Jim. I'll tell you that.
Mitch, I remember one of the things, now this isn't what you always want to hear as a consultant, is when you find out the company you're working with, the CEO has already planned his retirement 2 years into the process. And
well,
you
that's
had actually
true. I had already told my board that 2010 was my last year, and that didn't happen.
Well,
thank
and
goodness.
Mitch, thank goodness it didn't happen. But tell everybody how you felt as a CEO at that time.
Well, everybody, at least on the crop service side, had all field responsibilities, and I, at that time, I was in charge of the whole company. I also had a region myself in crop service that I was attempting to manage. I was the fleet manager in charge of 130 vehicles that are running across 6 to 7 states. And I had many hats, and I was wearing out very quickly. I needed some help, and you know, we have really good people in our organization. But not every business. This is something you don't get taught in economics at the university. You know, you can pick up books and try to read lots of different books, but you're trying to run a company, and it's difficult. And the process of getting something done like this to strategically move in a better direction is a very difficult thing to do. And I was trying to do it by myself, and that was very, very difficult.
Well, and you'd reached the point where it was just maximum overload. You couldn't have physically or psychologically continued doing what you were doing. And I think her turning point was after that very intense restructuring process that we went through in the winter of 2008 and 2009. And then in 2009, we had a company meeting, and that was a red-letter date on Servitech's calendar, because that's when we brought everybody in the company together, and you stood up and you said, we're going to completely restructure the company.
Yeah, I told my board that too before that meeting, and I think I could have heard every jaw hit the floor. And I told them I had a plan and it was going to work, and I remember standing up in front of the group and I'm saying, I'm not asking for your permission. This is what we're going to do. And we went forward, and I think a lot of people were somewhat relieved, to be honest, Jim.
I think they were, because in the backs of their minds, they knew that what Servitech was doing had been successful in the past, but there were a lot of people that, you know, it was like, hey, I don't know if we can keep doing what we're doing, and I'm not really happy in what I'm doing. So our restructuring process actually let people do what they enjoyed most and take away responsibilities from them that they didn't enjoy doing.
And we created that. That even happened with the group that met over those 4 2-day meetings. And some of those people chose to go on to management and remain in that area, and others decided that they wanted to take a role where they really enjoyed what they were doing, and that was just fine. And that's still working today.
Well, and I think that's something that's important for everyone to understand is, you know, you have to get the round pegs and the round holes and the square pegs and the square holes. And if you don't do that, you're always going to be pushing the rope uphill. And, Mitch, I think it's safe to say that we still battle that to some degree, but it's sure a lot different than it was when we started back in 2007.
Well, business is never easy, Jim, if you're trying to achieve and do better, and you're always going to run into challenges. And, you know, our plan is to continue to make changes, listen to people, and make some bold moves when we need to.
You know, the next thing that happened after that was we created several new management positions in the crop service side of the business, and we actually we had people apply for those positions. And I'll never forget at that meeting where we announced the restructuring, we had a guy that walked up to me immediately after the meeting, a fellow by the name of Pete Cruz, and he says, "I want to apply for one of those positions." And Pete did fill one of those positions as a territory manager. And just recently, this year, he's accepted a new position as Director of Operations for Servitech. So we started a process that started letting the people that really wanted to be in the management positions of the company take a different career path than they'd ever seen before.
Yeah, we created that position, and a lot of it has to do with just the increased business and volume that we're seeing, and more things going on to let me be more strategic and have help with the day-to-day operations of the company. And that's what Pete's doing to help, and has really stepped up to the plate.
Once we did the restructuring, I think about the number of times that you and I met in Wichita, Kansas, and what we had done is part of our pioneering process. We'd asked all the people that were involved in that process early to write articles. And the article was based on this premise: Servitech has been named as the model organization of the 21st century by Time magazine in the year 2037. And what we asked them to do is, you're going to write the cover story. You got to write a 1,000-word article to describe what has happened between the year 2037 and 2007 that enabled Servitech to become that model organization. I can still remember the collective groan I heard in the room when I gave them that assignment.
That's probably putting it mildly.
you're asking a group of agronomists, scientists, to write an article about the next
30 years into the future. But you know, but Jim, that was a great exercise, and a lot of those people really did take that very seriously, and it was really, with a few exceptions, quite an experience for me as the CEO to see some of my people from a whole different perspective on what they thought agriculture would look like in the year 2037 and what some of the accomplishments Servitech had achieved during those 30 years. And not only like from a financial point, but really a lot of it was from a philanthropic standpoint. And I was quite amazed at the thought and the effort that those people put into that, and it was really a real eye opener.
Mitch, I know you and I were both really shocked about how creative some of the people in the room were when they talked about what they saw happening in the next 30 years. And what I want to do is we're going to take a break right now, but when we come back from that break, we're going to talk a little bit about what the people in that room saw happening to Servitech in the next 30 years.
Okay.
Jim Witt, founder of Purpose Unlimited, is an unapologetic people provoker. Jim's career was birthed from the discovery of his purpose in life in 1988. For more than 20 years, Jim has provoked people and organizations to reach their full potential as a speaker, consultant, and author. He is the author of Writing for the Brand, The Power of Purposeful Leadership, and The Transformational Power of Purpose. All of this provides Jim with a unique perspective into human behavior, which he has applied to develop his unconventional approach to transforming lives, leaders, and organizations. Connect with Jim today at www.purposeunlimited.com. It's time for the Power of Purpose in Business with Nathan Mitchell and Jim Witt on Blog Talk Radio. If you have ever wondered about the transformational power of purpose and its impact on business and life, then you have tuned in to the right show. Each week, Nathan and Jim will join guests from a variety of backgrounds. You will hear from career professionals, business owners, entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and other experts, all of whom will join Jim and Nathan to discuss the transformational power of purpose. And now, here's your hosts, Nathan Mitchell and Jim Witt.
Hello, everyone. I want to welcome you back to the show. Mitch Counts is with Jim Witt this evening. We're interviewing Mitch. He is the CEO of Servitech Incorporated. Servitech was organized in 1975 by three farmer-owned cooperatives to provide technical service for agricultural producers in Southwest Kansas. Jim and Mitch, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Nathan.
Yeah, thanks, Nathan. Nathan, I want to get you in here just a little bit. You've been listening to Mitch and I talk, and what questions come to mind for you as you hear us talking about how we started restructuring Servitech?
Well, Jim, just going off, you know, I've obviously read your book, Writing for the Brand. You and I do some work together. I'm really curious, what is Servitech's purpose in agriculture?
Nathan, jump right in there.
Yeah, Nathan, that Jim provoked me early and asked me what our purpose was. Yeah, he's very good at that. And it was somewhat disturbing to me that I really couldn't say what it was. That, you know, and I started thinking about that in the perspective of what Jim wrote in his book, Writing for the Brand. And, you know, back when I would say back in the 80s, it was kind of popular for everybody to come up with a mission statement for their company. And we, wasn't Jim, but we hired somebody else, and we spent, I think, the better part of 3 or 4 days trying to come up with that mission statement. And when it was all said and done, it was so long and so complicated that most people couldn't remember what it was.
I was about ready to ask you if you had about 5 paragraphs when you were done.
Yeah, and so, you know, and in the book, Jim talks about having something that is positive, powerful, simple, and serving. And earlier we talked about all of those articles that the managers and other people that had been with the company for quite a while, and even some new people, were asked to write about where Servitech was going to be in the year 2037. And after I read all of those articles, and I ended up reading all of them at least twice, it finally came to me, and this is a true story. It was 3 o'clock in the morning in, I think it was toward the late summer of 2010. I just woke up in the middle of the night, and it came to me. And I was reaching, trying to find in the dark a pen and a paper to write this down, because I thought maybe it was just a dream or something, and I'd forget about it, but it just came to me. Our purpose was making the planet more productive. And that's what we'd been doing for years, and that's what we are going to continue to do for a long time. And I think it's positive, powerful, simple, and serving.
Well, Mitch, I think that's profound. It seems like some of our best thinking happens in the middle of the night. I know that I've experienced those moments myself. How is it specifically that Servitech makes the planet more productive?
Well, you know, we're an agriculture-related company, and the company was originally started to be a crop consulting company. And basically, we don't sell any products, and we just try to make everything that's out there work better. You know, the way it's designed to work, squeeze every last little bit of technology or whatever we're doing and make it, you know, make everything just more productive. And we do that as well on the laboratory side when we're testing soil, feedstuffs for people that feed livestock, testing water and plant tissue to give people information that allows them to make better decisions about what they're going to do with the information and products that they are using. And so it's that good information that they receive that make whoever's using us more productive and their business more productive.
Well, and I think we failed to mention that Servitech has three laboratories at Dodge City, Kansas, Hastings, Nebraska, Amarillo, Texas, that do analysis on crop, soils, water, and a myriad of other analysis from around the world. I mean, you've actually done soil samples for Wimbledon.
That's right.
So it's not when we think about your purpose of making the planet more productive, we're affecting the lives of every human being everywhere in the world.
Yeah, like right now with all the football, it's some of these stadiums that you see, we test the soil or the plant tissue that comes off of those stadiums to make sure the grass is healthy and green and growing well.
So we're in the entertainment business too, right, Mitch?
Well, haven't seen our name on the commercial yet, Jim.
But thinking about that, and I'll never forget when Mitch and I were sitting in the room and we were pouring through these articles, and we actually, from these articles that we write and the pioneering process that I've developed, it identifies all the strategic initiatives. It puts together a long-range plan. It's everything that you need to do in the next 30 years for your company to succeed. So in making the planet more productive, it's interesting that we have to, by the year 2050, we're going to have 9 billion people on planet Earth, and we're going to have to nearly double agriculture production to feed those 9 billion people. Now, this is something that you don't hear about on the news. We hear about global warming. We hear about oil spills. We hear about politics. We hear about everything else. But the most critical thing that we're going to have to do is figure out how to feed those 9 billion people. And Mitch, that's something that Servitech works on every day.
That's right, Jim, and you're exactly hitting the nail right on the head. I mean, this is coming very quickly. If all the people that run the numbers are correct, there are going to be so many mouths to feed. And across the world, we just have to do a better job with what we have. And, of course, resources are becoming less plentiful and more expensive, and the world's going to continue to populate. And we have a huge challenge ahead of us to do that.
Now, we hear all the negative things about agriculture, about genetically modified organisms, about fertilizer, about chemicals, but really that's just all technology that we use to produce our crops. And I think about that, and what we're doing every day is we're helping those producers out there, farmers, to increase their production so that we can actually provide not only more food, a higher quantity, but also a higher quality of food. And I don't think people really stop and think about everything that they eat every day comes from those crops that we produce.
And we work with all kinds of farmers, Jim. We work with very small farmers to some very large operations, and we're using everything that's available out there on the market to try to boost production and keep the food safe and keep it very plentiful.
Well, and I think about just this last week, we were meeting with another company that we'll be partnering with on water technology. And, we talk about energy, we talk about oil, we talk about gas, but out of all of those things that we think about that are being necessary to sustain life on Earth, nothing is more critical than water.
Well, and we're kind of seeing that, people in the, at least in the rural areas and in the areas that we touch, one of the fastest growing segments of our testing business is water testing. People are concerned about, not only the quantity of water, but also the quality of the water that we have to drink.
It's safe to say that's going to be our most critical issue, isn't it, in the future?
Well, and across the at least the Midwest this year, we've experienced a drought, and it's 2 years in a row for us out here in the High Plains area, and now we're seeing that move into places like Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and we're seeing areas that are traditionally dry land and don't use irrigation possibly developing some of their ground to be irrigated when we have droughts like this. So it's a big task that the whole thing is going to keep changing.
Mitch, and that brings up another thing that we've been working on, and it's making the planet more productive. And, you know, I've always accused you of being a closet marketer. And even though you're an agronomist by training, you came up with something that I thought was really clever and accurate. When you came, and I don't even remember exactly where this came from, but you came up with MP squared. Do you remember how that came to you?
Well, I think it was about 3 o'clock in the morning again. I may need to change my work hours. I might be more productive in the early morning hours.
That's why you keep waking up at 3:30, isn't it?
I guess so, but I'm not always that productive at 3:30. Believe me. But yeah, I was actually in a hotel room at a meeting, and I was thinking about what we do and the challenges ahead, and it's like making the planet more productive. And I kept saying it over and over, and it was like making the planet more productive. It's like MP squared. I don't know why. It's kind of the techie side of me, I guess. That's what it stands for. MP squared stands for making the planet more productive. And our plan there is we're going to have a soft launch of a website this December that is going to give people a place to come to see how food is grown, how it's produced, how it's marketed, how it's transported, how it makes it back out to all the people that need it. And it'll be a place where people can ask questions. And if they're really interested, and I think there's a genuine interest from people that don't produce food or have not lived on a farm to actually learn how and where their food comes from. And I think all of us in agriculture and all of the industries and support industries that are out there that help feed the world, this is a place for all of them to come to share the story of what it takes to actually feed everybody.
And Mitch, whenever you came up with that, the first thing that came to my mind was the theory of relativity. You know, Einstein's theory of relativity, E equals MC squared. And
mm-hmm.
now what we have is the new theory of relativity, and that's E equals MP squared. And that means
everybody.
That's right.
Making the planet more productive. We're all in it. Everybody can make the planet more productive. And most of us are. We really are. We have some way we're helping make the planet more productive.
So through MP squared, what we're really doing is we're saying, hey, we hear all the negative things, and frankly, most of it is misinformation that we get from the popular media about what's happening in agriculture. And so what we're saying is, hey, those of us that are involved in feeding the world every day want to tell our story. And it's a great story to tell. And we want everyone to be involved because we want everyone to be involved in feeding those 9 billion people by the year 2050. And we call it a 21st century green revolution. And if people want to learn about that, we're launching that. And they can go to – now here's a different URL for those of you out there in radio land. It's www.mp2.ag. And we've got a prototype that you can go to right now, but December 1, I tell you what, we've got an eye-popping site. And if you're interested, Mitch, you can become a partner in MP Squared, right?
That's right. We would like to get everybody who wants to make the planet more productive and to tell their story with what they do individually or what their company does or what their farm or their partnership, their transportation company, their energy company, all of that that's required to bring it all together, to bring food to people's table, to tell their story.
Even a company like mine, Purpose Unlimited,
yeah.
I'm a partner
yes.
in MP Squared.
Yes. Yep.
Do you
We've
think
already
what
got
I'm...
We already have several partners, and Jim, you're one of them, and you've certainly made me and our company more productive so that we can carry it on.
So for the people that are listening to this program that are not directly involved in production agriculture, that doesn't mean they can't be involved in making the planet more productive, right?
Right. My guess is that some way or another they are. They are contributing to making
the
planet more productive.
And the great thing is if we could actually show people, and this is going to give them an opportunity to see where their food is raised, when you understand what goes into putting the food on your table every day, it's an amazing story.
It's very complicated. It really is. I mean, it can be very simple to going out and picking an apple off of a tree, but it can be very complicated with, you know, the things that we can do today to bring produce, to bring manufactured goods to virtually anybody anywhere in the world overnight.
And we really have an army of people, not only the people that work at Servitech, but the people that we partner with every day. When we multiply that, there's really thousands of us that are involved in production agriculture. And even though we may only represent 2% of the population, the next step in the segments of agriculture, each step gets right down to the grocery store that where you buy your produce and your meat and your other products, to the restaurant that you eat in. Everyone is involved in that process.
Yeah, that's so, right. So,
Mitch, we covered a lot of ground tonight, and I just would like to ask you, before we sign off, what would you like to tell our listeners out there, not just about Servitech, not just about MP Squared, but about making the planet more productive and about how the power of purpose can actually transform an organization?
Well, Jim, I have to, I guess, give you an example. You know, a lot of companies talk about their mission statements and what they're doing, and management can stand up in front of everybody and do those kinds of things. And I was actually giving a tour one day in the laboratory and had talked about Servitech's purpose to our guest. And we were walking through the laboratory, and the one guest, he says, "Do you mind if I ask somebody if I just say, what can you tell me what Servitech's purpose is?" And of course, I said, "No, go right ahead." And then I kind of cringed. It's like, oh, no, what's going to happen here? And so as we're walking through, I had no idea who he might stop and ask. And he finally did. And he asked one of my employees, he said, "So we're taking the tour here." He said, what is Servitech's purpose?" And that employee just got a big old smile on her face and looked right at me and said, "Making the planet more productive." And I tell you what, I couldn't have been prouder, and I think every person in there probably would have said that. And it's so satisfying to see employees that feel like they have a cause, and what they do is making a difference in people's lives. That's the main thing right there, Jim. It does make a difference.
It does make a difference, and of course, that's my criteria. Is if you want to create a purpose-driven organization, I have a standard thing. You should be able to ask anyone that works in that organization what the purpose is, and they should be able to tell you in exactly the same words, the same way every time. It should be positive, powerful, simple, and serving. And, Mitch, I tell you what, I have to say this, and all the clients that I've worked with in my 25 years in business, and it's hard to believe that I've been in business for 25 years, and I've developed all of the processes in developing a purpose-driven organization. You are the best example of an organization that I can give to anyone. And you are the best example of a CEO to lead that organization. And I want to thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Mitch. It's been a pleasure talking with you and learning more about you and your organization, Servitech. Keep making the planet more productive. We're very excited to have you on the show.
All right. Thank you, Nathan.
You're welcome, Mitch. Have a great night. Have a great evening, everyone.